You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
On the line, we have David McCulloch and Alan Perreault from Francis Sect. They're coming on to talk about their Timmy Tin Soldier EP, which has sort of been rediscovered, as they put it. Good morning to you, David and Alan. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Morning. It's a bit warm.
It's a bit warm. Whereabouts are y'all coming from?
Grey Lynn.
Grey Lynn. I've honestly never been. What's it like there?
Suburban. In a suburban.
Pretty good. Pretty chill.
Yes, very chill. At the moment, it's empty.
True.
Everyone's bugging out, I guess, to the seaside.
Oh, right. I hear John Campbell lives in Grey Lynn. Is that correct?
I think so. There's a ton of journos here.
True.
I don't know how we've all sort of migrated here. I've got Ian Sinclair, used to be TVNZ up the road. Bernard Orsman's just across the road. And anyway,
there's
a lot of us around.
Lots of celebrities. The band Francis Sect, it was originally named Screaming Pope after the Francis Bacon painting. Obviously, the current name has Francis in it. Are you still referencing the Bacon Man with your name?
Yes.
Yeah, well, especially with the imagery as well. Our posters and stuff always used to play off him. On Bacon's work.
Mm.
I think we thought he was quite provocative at the time.
Yeah. So when did you kind of discover Francis Bacon, and what did you find super captivating about his work?
I guess, we were suburban, we were from South Auckland, so we were taken by the grimness of it, I guess, but we got together in 1984. So in the art room of our college, which
83.
Was... 83. Okay.
A little fact-checking there. I read a funny bio about your the band's string of bad luck. After you returned from Australia to a packed venue, one of you put a pedal through a bass drum. You went to Pointeke.
Well, there's a story behind that, because we were touring, playing in Australia with more experienced bands, blah, blah, blah. And I got told this nifty little trick. You'd tape a 50-cent piece to the drum skin.
Mm.
The pedal would hit that to get a nice snap. Cool idea, but then I didn't have the pedal quite nicely arranged when we were at the glue pot, and I put it straight through it.
Oh, no.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Are they expensive things to replace?
Well, didn't have a spare on hand.
Had to raw dog it. Oh, my gosh.
A drum skin and a trampoline.
Well, as well as that debacle, you also went to Wellington to mix an album, and you lost two of three nights to a fire and an earthquake. You left for a prime Neon Picnic Festival slot just as the festival was cancelled. You recorded an EP in time for the country's salt pressing plant to shut down. You know, what was the time span of these events? Were these events all in the span of, like, a few months, a year or two?
No, that's over a couple of years.
Okay, so it's not condensed into, like, 2 months. Because when I read that, I was like, oh, God, this poor band.
No, it just felt that way.
Oh, gosh. How did the band react to that? Was that quite a lot of blows that maybe put the nail in the coffin?
We did everything by our own bootstraps as it was. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, that was the way it was back then. You know, you did your own thing, and... I guess we always had the DIY ethos, didn't we, Alan?
Mm.
True. But I read that the band separated in, like, 1991-ish, and I was wondering, did that string of events have anything to do with the separation?
That was, like, 1991. It's just guys splitting to different parts of the world, pretty much.
True.
We'd been doing it for a while, yeah. And just without sort of making any particular headway in this place, because we were never part of the Flying Nun scene.
Although we loved that.
So it was you're in or you're out kind of thing in a lot of ways. It was very, very niche.
Mm. Yeah, I think also then it was very, you can feel very isolating, you know, pre-internet, which is amazing these days to get your music out there and... do new things.
Mm. Very true. You say that you weren't part of the Flying Nun scene, and while that may be true, the tracks that are on this Timmy Tin Soldier EP were recorded by the Flying Nun legend Terry King at Progressive Studios in Auckland. How did that come about?
I think we just booked it. There was the guy.
Oh, right. So it wasn't like a special connection or anything. It was just...
No, I think we probably aimed to go with Terry, because we absolutely love the Flying Nun scene. And I guess we spent most of our all our Friday nights at the Windsor Castle.
Yep.
Seeing all the great bands, you know, from the Chills to Sneaky Feelings. Love the Socks and Sandals.
Yeah, we got to play with most of them.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That was awesome.
And the Verlaines are here as well.
We got offered a tour slot with the Bats, but we couldn't do it.
Oh, no. Is this because of the bass drum? No.
probably a little something. Some other bad luck.
I read that you guys had a period of touring Sydney and you played with a few bands such as the Hummingbirds and Even As We Speak. The release that I read that from also mentioned memorably playing with Straitjacket Fits. Why were they quite memorable?
Well, because they were pretty much heroes. We all went their first gig at the Glue Pot. I mean, we were at the last Double Happies gig at the Windsor Castle, and then everything went quiet and it was Randolph coming home, I guess. But then this band turned up at the Glue Pot, and we all turned up and everyone's just jaws dropped because
the bar had just gone from
one level to just stratospheric, and we all sitting there going, holy shit, Bob. Amazing. A lot of work to do.
Crack up. Well, I want
to getting to play with them over there, that was fantastic, and getting to hang and remember the name of the bar.
That's awesome.
Or something like that.
I want to know, what is a Timmy Tin Soldier? Because it's quite a funny series of words.
Timmy Tin Soldier, well, you know, I can tell you a little bit about that. It was, I remember being in the attic of my parents' house and seeing a box of toy soldiers and thinking at that time, you know, we were young men, sort of like sitting out in the world. And if you listen to the song, it starts nice and quietly, but it builds into feedback, and that was basically me trying to express the confusion that we were stepping into at that time in our lives, you know, becoming, I think it's called adults. Still working on that.
Yeah, me too. Hey, far out. I've been told I've read that Timmy Tin Soldier and the other track on this mini EP, Wildflower, have been remastered and pressed to vinyl, and it was said that these tracks were recently rediscovered, digitized, and mastered in London. Why just these songs out of the kind of catalog that you guys have?
We love these two tracks, and we as we said, we recorded them in '87. They
have a lot to choose from. They've just been
sort of like long lost, and we got them back out. I've been in London and had them digitized over here and mastered over there. They did an amazing job.
Who in London was doing the restoration?
It was in Metropolis Studios.
Was that anyone like a personal connection of yours?
No, that's a good story though.
It's an interesting story because we had the tracks digitized. Actually, interesting to us, but we had the tracks digitized, and it turns out Metropolis was literally just down the road.
You heard it on the radio.
Yeah, I know. It's just sort of like we were talking about the necessity to get the tracks mastered, and it turns out that Metropolis were literally just down the road, and they're a great studio. You can go in there with our little tracks and sit under a picture of Noel Gallagher, and they get their work done and go, yes.
Crack up. That's crack up.
And they did a really amazing job. It's kind of called Feel. Yeah,
they sound really, really awesome.
I'm so glad that you feel that way.
And the tracks originally come from your album that it was released in 1989 called The Sun, as in child, not the ball of fire.
We went on to record the album, and these tracks that are on the single were different versions or featured on the album.
Okay, right.
That was recorded for an EP we were going to do, because everyone was doing EPs at the time. It was de rigueur. But then, because the plant closed down, we didn't get funding from the QE2 Arts Council. So they just got put in a box. And then when we did the album, we just did them again.
Crack up. So you're much bigger fans of these versions than the album versions?
Yes.
Yeah, we love this. We always loved it. We felt it came out perfectly.
Yeah. Well, when you get something,
don't often feel that way.
If you get it right the first time round, it's always going to be the default that you prefer, right?
Yeah, it felt that way. It felt like everything just fell into place. And we're really happy to share them and have them live. And
we just wanted to put a 45 out. That's my story. We've been collecting 45s for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, as I was saying,
that's just the way that we used to work, because we wanted to do things. You know, we wanted to be a band. We wanted to play live. then we wanted to play at certain venues, then we wanted to play with certain bands, then we wanted to put out a record, and now we wanted to put out a 45. So there was no reason if you just get out and do it.
Yeah, just get out and do it. That's our thing.
Hell yeah. The album, The Sun, that came out in 1999, the cover is great. It's a photo of this real big guy in a suit sitting down on what looks like, you know, the lawn of a social housing estate in England with a little boy right next to him also in a suit. Were these people just random people?
No, not at all.
The dear acquaintances, dear friends, loved ones?
Dear friends, yep. And the son of one of our band members. The main character is a guy called Ken. He was our muse, really, wasn't he?
And our lighting man.
Unfortunately, you know, he passed away a few years ago. But the cover itself, that's another little story. The cover itself was the Freezing Works.
Westfield Freezing Works.
Yeah, where we grew up in Mangere, South Auckland. Mm-hmm. That's now long gone. But also the cover of our single is the monument from
Otahuhu.
Yeah, Otahuhu, we're, you know, our area as well. So we always have that.
400 metres from the school we went to.
Yeah, and if you know, you know. If you're from, yeah.
I'm from Invercargill, so I have no idea.
Take our word for it.
I will take your word for it.
Statue there and Otahuhu, and that's where we're from. And we always just go back to have our link to where we're from.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, hell yeah. You mentioned that the band, you know, you guys really want to just put out a 45, which is why you've released these things. Are there any sort of other milestones that you want to check off with Francis Sect? And also, are you doing any like other music stuff as in a different capacity, different project?
At the moment, we've got plans to maybe get back together and do some small sort of like live performances later in the year. We also have plans to remix our album, maybe to get it back to a state that we're happier with, and possibly release some more singles.
We've got the album tapes, so we're going to remix those if we can. Maybe do another 45.
Nice.
I mean, there's no reason why not.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. As do you reckon you'd come down to Orthopoti Dunedin, you know, play the crown, maybe?
Oh, we'd love to. I think we never got anywhere further than Wellington.
Yeah, I think there's Wellington in that part of the world as far as we got.
Mm. Well, you know, 2026 could be the year of Francis Sect.
It could be. Why the hell not?
Why the hell not, indeed. Well, thank you for coming on the program, Dave and Alan. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations, ideas to leave our listeners with?
DIY. Get out there and do it.
Yeah.
Especially now, you know, look, the way we're feeling is, you know, with the internet now, you can get out there and take your music to the world and be free and express yourself.
And you don't need all the fancy things either. You can use Fruit Loops instead of Pro Tools if you're into making electronic music, you know.
You can do damn well anything, you know.
You can. Record things on your phone. Everything can be, you know, as budget-friendly as possible and still sound great.
I think it's more difficult the live scene. There's not as many venues as when we were young.
Yeah, but you can get your stuff out to the world. That's amazing.
That's very true, yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the program. I really appreciate it, and I hope you all have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, folks, that was David McCulloch, and Alan Perot from Francis Sect. They're coming on to talk about the rediscovered and released Timmy Tin Soldier mini EP, which you can find wherever you find your music. We're going to play the track Timmy Tin Soldier. You are indeed listening to The One. We'll wrap up the show very soon after the song. I'll see you shortly.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.